Hey, good morning. So our kids, you can go, and also our middle schoolers can go as well downstairs to our hideout room. So we've got it all going on this morning. And parents, if you're more comfortable, feel free to take your kids back, and they're going to have a great time. Well, good morning. I'm assuming everyone has power. Okay, that's good. You don't smell bad. I can't speak for myself. I don't think I do. But what a week, huh? Did anyone not lose power? All right, well, good for you. I can't think of anything else to say, so I'll say good for you. I think last week we had, I've talked to all the pastors in Maple Valley, and I think there was only one church last week that had power in Maple Valley, and believe it or not, it was the church in Hobart. Out of all the places you'd think to not have power, you know, Hobart wouldn't have been one that you thought would, but it is so good to be back here together and just excited for what God is doing in our midst, and I tell you, grateful for electricity, amen, grateful for water, grateful that we don't have to, you know, yeah, just living on a well, it's an experience. So luckily we have boys, because boys can be boys, and they can go outside and do what they need to do, but thank the Lord for electricity as well. Well, I am so excited for what God's doing, and I hope you are as well. We 2 weeks ago kicked off a series at our church on the 30th, and some of you were here. I just want to encourage you, if you were not here on the 30th, I know many of you were not here last week because we weren't here, but if you were not here on the 30th, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to the message. We talked about fasting. And it was incredible, because I think fasting is a topic that we find all through the Bible, but it's one of those topics that you don't hear preached very often in church anymore. And when you are a pastor, and you know, I get lots of emails, I get lots of subscriptions about, you know, how to build the church, how to grow the church, how to do all these things, and then all the material I've gotten, I've never gotten one about fasting. It's not, they don't recommend encouraging Americans to not eat for an extended period of time and to spend more time praying. How many of you know that's not one that if you want to grow your church and tell Americans not to eat? It doesn't happen. And so, but we are on purpose talking about fasting, because it's one of those things in Scripture. It's a weapon that we've been given. It's a tool that we've been given to touch the kingdom of God. And there's lots of misunderstandings about fasting. And so we want to clear it up, because it's a benefit to us in our life. Not just a health benefit, but a spiritual benefit. And so, again, I'm not going to recap a whole lot, because we want to move on and move forward to some other things that God has for us. But I encourage you, if you weren't here, we laid it out 2 weeks ago. And we are on day 8 as a church on a 21-day fast. And so we are encouraging people to pray about your involvement and how God would call you to fast. Fasting, by definition, means two things: to not eat or to shut the mouth. So 2 weeks ago, we said, it's talking about food, and it's not a fast. It's not a talking fast. We're not asking you to shut your mouth and not talk to your wife for, you know, 21 days. That will not go good. Okay, I said that a few weeks ago. It is talking about abstaining from physical food so that you can connect to the Spirit of God, and so that you can hear God in a whole new way. And so we are on day 8, and I hope, and I've talked to many of you that are participating in the fast to some degree. I've done some stuff this last week as well, a couple Thursday and breakfast and different things like that. And I hope that you're being encouraged as you spend some time seeking the Lord. I hope that as you are sacrificing something in your physical body, that your spiritual man is growing, amen? And so that's the whole point. And I encourage you, come to our pursuit nights on Thursdays. We had a great time last Thursday just worshiping and praying and just being together. It was so good because we said 2 weeks ago, fasting, if you're just abstaining for food and not praying, it's actually called starving yourself. And so we want to make sure that you are not just starving yourself or dieting, but yet you are praying and you are touching the Spirit of God as you are doing that. And so I just hope that you're all enjoying that as you are praying about your involvement and what that looks like. And if you had big plans about how you were going to fast and those plans didn't work out so well because you forgot, you got too hungry, and so you ate, you had to host someone like a guest speaker for 3 days, and all your plans got changed because you didn't have power, there's no shame. There's no condemnation. The good thing is if you had a goal to fast and you didn't quite make it, well, today's a new day. And tomorrow's a new day, and so you can start again and go forward again. So no shame there. But I want to continue to speak on fasting today and the next week as well. We're going to continue because it is a weapon. And one of my desires as a leader is that we as a body of Christ would be equipped to know how to use all of the weapons that God's given us to use. You know, I don't want to have certain tools, you know, or weapons that it's like, well, that's on, that looks really good, but I have no idea what fasting means, and so I just leave that up to people who know more than I do, right? We want to use all the weapons that God's given us to use so we can be effective in living the life that God's called us to live, amen? And so we're going to continue to speak on fasting today, and one of the things I believe, I preach, I've heard preached around church is the importance of vision. You know, in January, everyone's talking about vision. Everyone's talking about the goals that you have for your life, the goals we have as a church. Business owners take January to reestablish the vision that they want their business to be operated by and run with. And I believe it's so crucial. We can't understate vision enough. I mean, it is the most important factor in you achieving the goals that you want to achieve in your life. If you do not have vision for your future, if you don't have vision for the things that you want to do, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Good luck. I was praying this week, and the Lord gave me this little saying, and he said this. He said, when you lose your reason, you lose your direction. Okay, think about for a minute. When you lose your reason, you lose your direction. I don't know, I would say it this way. Another way is when you lose your why, you lose your way. Okay, when you forget why you're doing what you're doing, it makes it very difficult to continue to do it for a longer period of time. Okay, so when you lose your reason, you lose your direction. Okay, that's why it's so important that vision is constantly before you. In fact, if you read about vision, they say that if someone wants to achieve their goals, they need to be reminded of their goals every 30 days. They say if you're not reminded of your goals every 30 days, the chances of you actually achieving your goals go way down. And for me, there's sometimes my goals, I need to be reminded like on an hourly basis, otherwise I'm going to lose track. You know what I'm saying? Like my wife and I, we in January started, over the years, we've always been on a budget. And we've budgeted our finances. And we've had seasons where we do really good with our budget. And then we have seasons where we just don't open the budget app and pretend like we're just still budgeting. You know what I'm saying? If we, in our personal finances, do not look at our budget on a daily or hourly basis, it is amazing how quick you can get off track, especially when you don't plan on you know, eating out because you don't have power or running gas in your generator, those types of things. And so it's so important that you have that vision of why we're doing what we're doing before us. And I think about, again, I've had lots of experience with athletics and working with kids. And when I'm working with my football team, we had a goal that we put as a team at the beginning of the season that said, we want to win the championship. Well, how many of you know every single practice with those 10-year-olds, we had to drill their goal in them? You know why? Because they'd show up to practice and want to just do these Fortnite dances the whole time. And, you know, I don't even know what they're doing. Right? And I'm not going to try that one. Maybe one of these days. But it was so important for us to keep the vision of what your goals are, because it was amazing when adversity came to them how quickly they would forget about the goal that they had set in their heart. And so I think for us in our life, it's amazing how quick setbacks, things we didn't expect, when they come, if we are not focused on our vision, we will easily forget the goals that God has called us to walk in our life. And so it's just vital this morning that you know the goal, that you know the vision. I think in my mind of a picture of a target. I think I've got a picture of a target for us this morning. But there's a target, obviously, we want to be in the bullseye, we want to be in the middle. And this morning, when we're talking about fasting, I want to create a target for you. Because fasting is one of those topics that we don't talk about, that we don't hear about, and there is specific things that God wants to accomplish in your life through fasting, and we need to know what those things are. And so I want to talk about this morning just really four, but seven objectives of fasting. And so as you are going through your life at this next 21 days, as you are praying and fasting, I've had some people say, well, I'm fasting, I'm praying, but I don't really know what I'm fasting for, or I don't know what I'm praying for. And so I want to give you some direction this morning so that you will feel like you are accomplishing the things that God wants you to accomplish in your life. Amen? Amen. Okay, you know, it was, so we're going to paint a picture and we're going to paint a goal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to invest my time into anything that doesn't produce results. Okay, if I decided I was going to work out and I went to a trainer and the trainer said to me is, hey, I don't think my program's going to work for you, but you want to do it anyways? I would say, see ya. Right? I'm good. Right? I don't want to do anything. I love to eat. I don't want to abstain from eating food for a season if it's not going to do anything in my life for me. Yeah. And I would never ask anyone to do something that's not going to benefit your life. And so this morning, I want to look at why we're called to fast as a church. And I encourage you, be here Thursday nights, because we're actually, each one of these is going to be a focus for each of our 3 weeks. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of them. But when we fast, we can see a number of things. The first thing we see when we fast is we see a release of power come into our life. Okay? Number one is a release of power. You know, there's certain times in my life where the way I've done things doesn't cut it anymore. Anyone know what I'm saying? Where maybe I've done this for 20, 30 years, but it doesn't cut the mustard anymore. And that's when we fast, because if we read in Matthew 17, there's a story of the disciples, and Jesus told them, he said, hey, this kind of spirit, this kind of breakthrough doesn't happen without fasting. So there's certain areas of power in our life that are released as we fast, okay? And we talked about that this last Thursday. Another, number two this morning, I'm moving quickly so I can spend some time on a few, is when we fast, we're believing God for a sense of direction in our lives, okay? So there is a release of direction that happens as we pray and fast. How many of you know God did not leave you in your life to figure your life out on your own? Okay, God wants to give you a direction, God wants to give you dreams, and God doesn't expect you to just figure it out. He wants to show you the way that you're supposed to walk and how you're supposed to walk that path that he's called you to. And so as we fast and as we pray, we're believing that God is going to give direction for your personal life, but also our corporate church life. That there is dreams that God wants to unlock, and there are ways that he wants you to walk in that will be released in your life as you seek him. Okay, so there's a release of power, there's a release of direction. And we talked about that this last Thursday as well. One of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible is found in 1 Samuel 17. And it's the story of David and Goliath. And I don't know if everyone's familiar with that story this morning. And if not, that's okay. But King David was he was one of the kings of Israel a long time ago. But before he was king, he was just a shepherd. And he would tend his dad's sheep. And in that time, the Philistine army was oppressing the people of God, meaning that they were causing God's people to shrink back in fear. They were causing God's people to not walk in the fullness that God had for them. And so that was going on, and there was a big guy named Goliath, and I don't know how tall Goliath was, but he was a giant. You know, this week my kids were asking me, what's the tallest man in the world? And so I Googled it, and this guy was I don't know how tall Goliath was, but this man was 8 feet 11 inches tall, right? And I thought, that's like really tall. But so there was this giant named Goliath, and he was part of the enemy army. And he, it says in 1 Samuel, that for 40 days and 40 nights, he would taunt God's army. He would go out, and he would pretty much say, hey, someone come out and fight me. I'm going to kill you. And no one came. And for 40 days, it says he would taunt the Israelite army. And so David came along, and David went to his dad, and his dad said to David, I want you to go to the battle, and I want you to bring some stuff to your brothers. So David goes to his brothers, to the front lines of the army, and we'll pick it up in verse 23. And so David's coming. He's not in the military. He's just a shepherd watching his sheep. And he goes to his brothers who have just spent at least 40 days being taunted every day by this Goliath. And it says this. It says, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistine army and spoke the same words as he had before. So David's there and Goliath's doing his thing. He's coming out and he's starting to taunt God's people again. By this time, they're probably thinking, you know, give it a rest, Goliath, right? Give it up. All the men of Israel, in verse 24, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were much afraid. So picture yourself. The Goliath talks again, and it says that the Israelite army shrank back in fear again because they were so terrified by this Goliath. And so they asked David in verse 25, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And the king, the Israelite king, Saul at that time, will enrich the man who kills the giant with great riches and will give him a daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So pretty much David goes there, he sees Goliath, then he hears, hey, the king has a reward. If you kill this giant, you're going to get a daughter, a wife, you're going to get free housing, and you're going to get like all sorts of incredible things. But no one for 40 days has responded to this call because of the fear. Dan, some of you are familiar with this story. And David says this in verse 26 to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the approach of Israel? He says, wait, what did you say? Did you just say a wife? Right? Hello, did you just say all these riches? And then he says this, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way. Hey, you heard what we said. You're going to be rich if you kill him. Like, they're probably at this point done. But I want to focus on what David said. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that mocks God? The title of my message today is Enough is Enough. Because Steve was up here about 20 minutes ago, and we sang a song that said, the enemy can't take what I am, something, because I belong to you. But how many of you know this? That the enemy can't come and take what you have, but I've seen a lot of people give up ground to the enemy in their life. So the enemy, he can't come and take what you have because of your identity, but you can give up ground in the spirit by compromise that exists in your life and compromise that exists in my life. And just like King David, enough is enough. He got to a point in his life very quickly when he looked around at these soldiers that aren't acting like soldiers, and he says, you know what? This is not right. We serve the God of gods, the King of kings. Our God is the one true God, and we're acting like we're a bunch of wimpy, limp-wristed sissies. That's my interpretation. Do we not understand that our God is victorious? And he says, enough is enough. This Philistine cannot defile the living God any longer. And so he did something about it, right? He decided that, hey, the God who had walked with him this whole process, that's delivered him from the lion, from the bear, was going to give him strength to defeat this giant. And if you know the story, you know the history. But I believe that David looked back and he saw an army of his brothers not living up to the potential that God had called them to live up to. Enough is enough. And I believe God would say that to his people today. Would our church, would the people of God rise up and look at their surroundings and realize that God has so much more than what we're walking in? Would we realize that God has so much more than what we're currently experiencing? You know, I love, and I see in King David that he was content, but he wasn't satisfied. Okay? We want to be content with the things of God, but we don't want to be satisfied in the current, in the current level of spirituality that we're at. Okay, we want to be content because we're called to be content, but we don't want to be satisfied living on yesterday's victories or different things like that. And so today, as we're learning about these weapons and objectives of fasting, I want to encourage you to get to the place like David where you would say, enough is enough in my life. I'm really sick and tired of not living with power any longer. I'm really sick and tired of not having any direction in my life, right? I really want to see the full potential that God has for my life unfold. Okay, I want you to get to that place in your own life today. You know, I think about it, and how many of you know it's really hard to break a habit that you enjoy? Right? It's really hard to break an addiction that you love. And I think the first step is we, as people of God, we got to get to the place where we despise the enemies that exist in our life. We got to get to the point where we can see those enemies of God that hinder us. And we got to get to the point where we say, we don't like those things anymore. We don't want to put up with those things. But the problem is we have a love relationship with them, not a hate relationship with those things, right? It's called the flesh, right? So we got to get to the place where there's this holy anger like King David that says, enough is enough. I'm sick of being mocked by this giant. I mean, wouldn't that get old for 40 days you get mocked? I mean, at some point you would just be like, I'm done. I'm good. I don't need to be mocked anymore. Enough is enough. So we need to get to the place in our lives where there's a holy anger that is against the enemies of God in our life. Okay, the third thing I want to talk about and spend a little bit more time is as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time in fasting, there is a release of repentance that God wants to do in your life. Okay, a release of repentance. And I would say it this way, that there is an awakening to the reality of the sin that exists in your wife. I'm kidding. in your own life, where you don't excuse the sin in your own life any longer. You don't make excuses for it, but you can see things for how they are. You know, that's one of the biggest prayers I pray for my sons, is that they would recognize the sin that is in their life. That they would recognize it as sin. That they wouldn't get to a place where they are just like cool with it. Oh, I'm good with it. It could be worse. But that there's an awakening to the reality of the sin in our own life. Where we would have a realistic view to the condition of our heart. A realistic view to the condition of our own heart. I was thinking about the prophet Isaiah. He was a prophet in the Old Testament in Isaiah 6. And he, as prophets probably do, I'm not a prophet, but they have visions, right? And he had a vision from God. And his vision brought him to the throne room of God. And we could see this in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And when he was in this vision, in verse 5, it says this. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen, what that means is this prophet was taken in a vision, and he could see the condition of his own heart. And he said, woe is me. I'm in trouble compared to the amazing, spectacular goodness of God. And this wasn't a sinner. This was a prophet. So the prophet was like, I'm a mess compared to God. And he had a realistic view of the sin that was in his life. Listen, as we fast and pray, God wants to fill our hearts with the spirit of repentance that would allow us to see our sin for what it is. That would allow us to look at the sin in our life and say, we need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. I can't will myself to do it. I need God's grace to flow in my life. And a lifestyle of fasting will release a lifestyle of repentance. Now I wrote my notes in big bold letters, don't get weird on me. Because when we start talking about sin, I know what I like to do. You know what I like to do? I start liking to look at you, right? I like to look at the sin in your life, right? I like to look at my neighbor and look at the sin in their life and be like, hopefully they can see their big sin, right? This morning, God, would you allow us to look at our own life, to see the things in us that cause us to be separated from you? Listen, conviction does not come in our lives to make us just feel bad about ourselves. Okay, the purpose of godly conviction is to not make you feel shameful for the things that you've done. Can I just say that to us this morning? Okay, if you are feeling shameful and condemned because of your choices or the sin that you have committed, I want to tell you this morning that those are not from God. Okay, the Bible says there is no sin, no shame, and there is no condemnation for those of you that are in Christ Jesus. So if you are being beat up this morning because of your sin, I want to encourage you that that is not God. And that if it's shameful, it's not of God. And so don't have anything to do with it. But there is definitely a difference between condemnation and conviction. Listen, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit to bring you freedom. Condemnation comes from the enemy and from your flesh to bring you bondage. You know, I think about many people in church, they give their hearts to the Lord or they get saved and because they feel bad, because they feel condemned, or because they feel shame for the life they've lived, but they never get a revelation of God's conviction, and so therefore they don't grow. And they don't grow, and they'll probably end up falling away from God because a revelation of the conviction of the Spirit of God will change everything in your life. Because, in fact, if you read and if you study about conviction, it actually reveals the goodness and the kindness of God that would save you from yourself. Conviction is a gift. Conviction is a blessing. Because it's God saying, I want you to see, and I want to save you from future trouble. And so he gives us his conviction. Conviction is a gift. The next thing when we fast, the next target when we fast, we're believing this, that we will be released from bondage. Isaiah 58 in the Old Testament, it talks about the type of fast that God requires. Because in the New Testament, a lot of the Pharisees were fasting. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees for fasting because they were fasting just to look good. They were like, hey, everybody, we're not eating. We're pretty cool. And God's not interested in that. Okay, but in Isaiah 58, it lays out the type of fast that God is after. And it says this, and starting with verse 6, it says, is this not the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Okay, probably one of the hardest things that I see in my own life, when I've had friends and when I've had family members that struggle over the same addictions, habits, and lifestyle year after year after year, and it takes them out. I have an uncle who's the greatest man in the world, but the spirit of alcoholism has caused him to lose everything that he had. And it breaks my heart to see the body of Christ struggle year after year with the same things. And it makes me say, God, you've called us to break free. How many of you want to walk in complete freedom in your life? You know, I don't want to battle against the same things that I battled when I was 12. I mean, come on, people. I can't even remember when I was 12 anymore. Right? I'm getting old and my memory's getting worse. But we see that as a pattern. Year after year, we don't see people break through in the areas that God wants them to break through in. Breaking free is a sign of the Spirit's effectiveness in our life. So as we are walking in the Spirit, we will break through. Amen? We will break through. So when we fast, even over this 21 days, I want to encourage you, what areas of bondage need to break in your life? What areas do you need breakthrough in your own life? How about in your marriage or with your kids? What areas do you need to see God do a miracle? Because God wants to break through, and he wants to give you freedom in every area that you've struggled with. Okay, the fifth objective we see with fasting is the release of healing. And can I just be very vulnerable and very honest this morning? This is probably the hardest one for me as a pastor, as a Christian, is release of healing. Because I've seen some pretty amazing things in my life. I've seen the sick recover, but I've also seen the sick die. And it makes me go, God, why aren't we seeing healing like we should see it? And I don't have all the answers this morning. Sorry about that. But here's what I know. In Isaiah 58, it says this, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Listen, there is so many promises attached to Isaiah 58. One of them is healing. One of them is physical healing, emotional healing, health. And here's what I know about this, that the release of God's presence, when we are in a place where God's presence is free, when we are in a place where God's presence is released, we will see an increase of God's miracles, God's healing, and God's power. And so what I want is I want a place where God's presence can manifest. Amen? Where God's presence can be released. Listen, culture will change. Hearts will change. Hearts will get healed when God's presence can flow. And so we're going to believe God for healing in every area, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But we're not going to get discouraged when we don't see it. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to get discouraged when I don't see it every time. I'm going to continue to say, presence of the living God, come. The sixth thing we see as we fast, the sixth target that I hope that you, as you are fasting, is that you will see a release of ministry. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today because we're going to do it on Thursday nights, but meaning this, there's so many times in my life where I have not lived in the full potential that God had for me. Right? There's giftings, there's abilities. I believe in this house there's people who are incredible, gifted people, but they are not walking in the fullness of what God had for them. And so we believe as we fast that we see an increase in ministry, an increase of gifts being released. Number seven, and Steve talked about this earlier, that we would see an increase. So we fast. One of the targets of our fast is that we would see an increase and a release of spiritual awakening. How many of you know when you're hungry, the worst thing for you to think about is what? How hungry you are. I'm so hungry. Why? Because hunger creates hunger. Awareness creates awareness. Listen, we need a spiritual awakening in America so bad. We need a spiritual awakening in Maple Valley so bad. We need a spiritual awakening in my life and your life like never before. And so we, as we fast, we believe that the spiritual climate would just begin to rise. That you would be more aware to what the Spirit of God is doing in and through you. So we pray for a release of spiritual awakening. That people's eyes, that my eyes would be opened. That your eyes would be opened. That our neighbor's eyes would be opened to the things of God. Amen. Amen. I hope you wrote them down. And if not, you know, you can talk to me afterwards. But those are our targets. Those are the things that I'm believing for in my life. Those are the things that I'm believing for your life as you fast and as you pray, that you would break those bondages, that you would be released to the giftings that you never knew you had, that you would be awoken spiritually like never before. I'm going to have the worship team come up. We are going to do two things before we dismiss. So worshiping, you guys can just come. But we, about a month ago, we announced that we, on today, we're going to be taking a special offering, right? Double dip Sunday, we'll call it. Our church has been involved in South Sudan for many years. And we have built compounds in South Sudan. We have seen God do amazing things in South Sudan. And if you know anything about the history of South Sudan, there's been war. There's been civil war. And all of the compounds that we built are not occupied. There was over 260,000 refugees living in Uganda because of the war. And we, Pastor Dave Easterly, came to us. And pretty much it looks like South Sudan is starting to open. And so we get to be a part of rebuilding South Sudan, maybe not the whole country, but what the parts that God has called us. We're going to rebuild the whole country. No, we're going to rebuild the areas that God has called us to rebuild. And so we're taking an offering today so we can sow into and believe that God is going to break through in that country. I want to be very honest with you. We do not know the timelines. It actually, within the last 2 weeks, it seems like the timeline has actually slowed down a little bit because there's still some things that need to be worked out in the country, and it is not completely safe yet. And so it may be 6 months, it may be 9 months, we don't know. But we do know that when it's ready to go, we want to be ready to see God bring revival to that country. Amen? And so, ushers, you can come forward. During the slideshow, there's just some pictures of the history of our work in South Sudan. There's some pictures in the middle of the current state of the facilities. You'll see them. But thank you for giving. Ushers, you can come forward, and then we'll close in song as we dismiss. We can start that slideshow.